From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For decades, government food assistance has helped millions of poor or low-income people avoid going hungry. But even with that money support, it can still be a challenge to put together a nutritious diet and to just stay healthy in general. That's where something called SNAP Ed comes in. SNAP is for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the modern name for food stamps, and Ed is for education. The massive Republican tax law passed earlier this summer, it not only cut funding for SNAP, it also got rid of funding for SNAP Ed. And last month, the University of Illinois Extension announced it would wind down our version of the program in Illinois. That means more than 200 people are losing their jobs. That has effects not just for people on SNAP, but for whole communities across the state. A little while later, we'll hear about how some of those effects are playing out in one part of Illinois. But we begin today with Jennifer McCaffrey, Assistant Dean of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Illinois Extension. Jennifer, welcome to the 21st Show.
And thank you for having me.
Also with us, Caitlin Kaunacki, Senior Program Lead of Evaluation in Family and Consumer Sciences with the U of I Extension. Caitlin, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be on this topic for most of the show today. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. How easy or hard is it to eat healthy in your part of Illinois? Maybe you know people who've benefited from the work of SNAP Ed. And how do you feel about this program winding down? You can join the conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Jennifer McCaffrey, I mentioned broadly what SNAP Ed is. How does it work?
Yeah, SNAP Ed is all across the state of Illinois, and we run it out of our extension offices that are in all 102 counties. And so we hire people from the local community to go out, and we have a mantra to be where the people are at. And so that may be in a food pantry or a school or a community center after school to interact with people about them making the healthy choices. So it could be a cooking class. It could be the story time talking about healthy eating in your child's school. And then we also work with organizations in the community to make sure that people have access to high quality food. So it's a whole community approach, recognizing that people that need these services are in their community and visiting people or visiting organizations. And so we try to make it easy for people to take this information and also make it fun.
Caitlin, we heard there are a few hundred people employed as educators and professionals in this program. How do you find them? What are you looking for? What makes a good SNAP Ed person?
Well, we have some staff in our program who are reaching families directly through the educational information we're providing. And so really what we're looking for is we're looking for people who can resonate with the audience. They can connect with them well. They know them because they're present there with them in their communities every single day. People who love learning and like to make things like that fun. So that's really important for the people who are connecting with families directly. For our staff who work more with community partners and are working on community systems to make food more accessible and to make exercise and physical activity more accessible, we look for people who are really good at building relationships with partners and who are really good at listening to the needs and supporting the needs of our partners. And so that's something that our SNAP Ed staff who are working in that systems area, they're really, really strong in those aspects.
Caitlin, how do you see work in one part of Illinois making a difference in other parts of the state?
Oh, gosh. One of the great things about running the SNAP Ed program in Illinois through the Extension Network is that it is a statewide network. And so our staff who are connecting and sharing education directly with community members, they get together and they talk and they share. They talk about what's worked well or how they've been able to connect with their families in ways that are meaningful to them. But our staff who are doing systems work, they're working on local, regional, or sometimes even state-level systems initiatives. And so even though it's just a couple people that might be working on those initiatives, it's reaching very large areas. They also have a network of colleagues that they meet together regularly, and they're able to share their ideas, talk about what's working well, and then those staff can take it back to their communities and, you know, bring some new ideas forward or think about with their partners how that might work in their area. So it's a very unique thing about the way we run our program and how we're able to reach all aspects and all corners of the state.
Jennifer McCaffrey, you know, I think sometimes there's this idea out there that poverty is an urban phenomenon. The, you know, hunger food needs are an urban phenomenon. Talk about the geographic reach of SNAP-Ed.
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, we have our work in all 102 counties in Illinois. And one of the big things that we see, whether it is urban or rural, that access to high quality food is universal in both of those spaces. So you can imagine, you've probably heard of the term food deserts, or maybe other people have called it just kind of a food vacuum, or kind of just places where there's not high quality food. And so you see that both in the communities and urban areas where more people use public transportation. And so it's not as easy to get to food that is high quality. And so you think about some of these communities, it's hard to find that fresh produce or fresh meat or those fresh products, or even the canned and frozen vegetables are limited. And so then the same thing is mirrored in rural areas where it's the distance that people have to travel for food. And what we find is it's hard to keep stocked that fresh products. And so when people go to buy those healthier items, they're just not there. They're just not available for people. And so it is pretty universal when you look across our state, those gaps in finding that high quality food.
We've had conversations on the program about some of these food deserts, Caro. In fact, I think we had a SNAP educator on to talk about that some years ago. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about SNAP-Ed, a program that operates in tandem with what used to be called food stamp benefits. It's now known as SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. If SNAP gives people help paying for food, the idea of SNAP-Ed is to help people make the most of those financial resources and really just to live healthier lives in general. But SNAP-Ed has lost all of its federal funding under President Trump's tax and spending law that he signed earlier this summer. So the Illinois version of this program is winding down. We're talking about this work with Jennifer McCaffrey and Caitlin Kaunacki, who works in family, they both work in family and consumer sciences at the University of Illinois Extension. I want to bring two more voices into the conversation now. Rebecca Crumrine is a SNAP-Ed educator based in Peoria. Rebecca, welcome to the 21st show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
And Dr. Amy Christensen holds the Eliza J. and Pedro A. de Alarcon Professorship in Pediatrics at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, Peoria. She's the medical director of a pediatric weight management program that's benefited from SNAP-Ed's work in Peoria. It's called Healthy Kids U. Dr. Christensen, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me, and that was a mouthful.
It is. I probably won't be honoring the Alarcon's gift again, but thank them for their contribution to education. Listeners, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. Christensen, tell me more about Healthy Kids U. How does that work?
Well, we have a clinic, the only one of its kind outside of Chicago and the state of Illinois, to really address some of the health conditions that are complications from very high body sizes. We also, though, really work in the community and with partners to try to figure out ways that being able to choose what is the more nutritious or high quality food choice is the easier choice for our community members. So it's been really a privilege to partner with other partners, and especially SNAP-Ed folks, to try to improve that access for all.
And Rebecca Crumrine, you're a SNAP educator. I understand you've worked with Dr. Christensen on this. What does SNAP Ed bring to this program?
Sure. You know, I think one of the biggest benefits of SNAP Ed is our ability to, and Caitlin kind of touched on this a little earlier, but our ability to really look at what are the needs in the community. What do our families need? What are their barriers? And then being able to work with people like Dr. Christensen, like our local health departments, like our local food pantries, any of those spaces where our families are, to really help them to improve that ability for them to be able to have, you know, families getting that healthy food. So we can connect those community members and community and community nutrition directly to these other programs to better support our whole community.
So, Rebecca, we talked just a moment ago with Caitlin and Jennifer about the importance of making these connections across the state. How do you go about that within a community like Peoria, especially in terms of getting people to resources that can help them out?
Yeah. Here at SNAP Ed, you know, they touched on the way that our model is, and I'm very passionate about what we do, which is really being in community. So it's being in those places and spaces that families might most need those connections, and having our educators there providing some of that direct education, right? But also being able to provide them, hey, you know what, we have this resource called Find Food Illinois if you need help finding food, or some of those extra steps to get them to resources. But even with that, we know there are extra barriers. So when it comes to my role, I get to try to create those changes and the environments for them and those policies and systems to really make those healthier choices a reality. So I can, in my role, help, you know, Dr. Christensen by, we're running a mobile market project right now in Peoria where, you know, we understand that sometimes just getting to the grocery store or shopping with kids, I have a 6-year-old, can be a stressful time for families. On top of that, you know, there's the price of groceries and everything, and then getting to the store, right? So there's all these different things that might stop us from getting to those nutritious food items. So, you know, we try to think innovatively in SNAP Ed. We work with partners to do things like this mobile market where we're bringing low cost, quality foods to people right where they're picking up their kids, right? So just thinking through ways that we can create those connections to those food resources to community.
A couple of text messages. We asked our listeners in our text messaging group about this, heard from some of them. Karen in Simpson says, I think as these changes take place, the effects will be devastating to the folks who need this program. Every week I see stories in local and national news about how food pantries are struggling to provide what's needed. I live in a very rural area and drive 30-plus minutes to access fresher, healthier food choices than my small local grocery can provide. And she says her local grocery is 20 minutes away. Thank you for that message, Karen. Also want to share one from Aaron in Springfield, who says the prices for groceries have never been higher. That social safety net gives confidence to people knowing the program paid with taxpayer dollars would be there is needed. It's a choice to take away someone's dignity and place them in a cycle of poverty. This was a deliberate decision. Thank you for your message, Aaron, as well. Dr. Christensen, I wonder if you've noticed, you know, more people needing this kind of assistance as, you know, among your, I was going to say clients, but I guess patients is the proper word, you know, as the years have gone on, groceries have been getting more expensive, that sort of thing.
Yes, I would say that is very much the case. And, you know, for my patients and their families, we realize that food is medicine. Food is, and high quality food is what keeps them well and keeps them away from developing other related conditions and diseases. So we screen and talk about this a lot with our patients every time we see them, and the numbers are rising in terms of those that are finding that finances are tight. It's not easy to afford some of the more high quality foods that they wish to. And as such, I think we're all realizing that we need to partner with folks across our systems to try to change what the landscape looks like in terms of affordability and availability of nutritious and high quality foods. And so, yes, this is more of a problem, and which is why that just not in the four walls of any healthcare system, but it's our partners that we have within our community and a lot of the assets, including SNAP-Ed folks. We couldn't do this without them to help with nutrition, education, and how to get the more high quality foods and prepare them, especially when you're on a budget. And then how to support and align the thought of what does the charitable food system look like? How do we then together decide about what we can do about increasing the inventory of high quality food and the availability for those that are kind of running tight on their finances?
Yeah.
So that everyone can really help to manage their own health.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break on the program. We will continue when we return. We are talking about the end of the SNAP education program here in Illinois, 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, this is The 21st Show.
Support for The 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Art Center, presenting Firlai Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy. On view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.
It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about SNAP-Ed, a program meant to help people getting SNAP benefits, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, formerly known as food stamps. SNAP-Ed is meant to make to help people make healthier choices in life, not just in terms of the food they buy and eat, but also, for example, in terms of exercise they might get. We're talking about the effect of the program has had throughout Illinois as it winds down its operations after losing federal funding as part of this year's Republican tax and spending bill, formerly known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. We heard from members of our texting group about this. You can join that group, by the way, by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, you send the word TALK, T-A-L-K, 217-803-0730. Stephen in Urbana said, it's more difficult to be healthy as prices of food, healthcare, and most everything else skyrocket. In addition, the loss of a major hospital in this area further limits healthcare. He's talking about the merging of OSF's healthcare's facilities in Urbana and Danville. Stephen goes on top of this, the draconian decreases in funding of programs that directly impact those with limited resources being imposed by the Trump administration is devastating as well as cruel. This is not the America I grew up in or want. Kevin and Farina told us, living in rural southern Illinois means healthy choices are hard to come by. It's 20 miles to the nearest grocery store. Dollar General doesn't count. He says, I do not need public assistance, but know plenty who do. What the Trump administration has done is reprehensible. And finally, Lloyd in Danville said simply, people will go hungry, especially the children. Thank you to Lloyd, Kevin, and Stephen for your comments. We've been talking about this with Peoria SNAP-Ed educator Rebecca Crumrine and Dr. Amy Christensen at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Peoria. She's worked with SNAP-Ed on programs. Also with us, Jennifer McCaffrey, Assistant Dean of Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Illinois Extension, which facilitates SNAP-Ed here in the 21st state. And Caitlin Kaunacki, Senior Program Lead of Evaluation in Family and Consumer Sciences with U of I Extension. You can join us at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Jennifer McCaffrey, I've mentioned SNAP-Ed lost its federal funding earlier this year. What does that mean for the program?
Yes, so at the University of Illinois, we employed, as you had mentioned, 217 individuals that were from the communities all across the state to go out and deliver the program. And so all of those employees have received a notice that their jobs are ending as we go through the fall. And then with that, we are winding down the program. So some of the features, obviously the nutrition education that we did at the local community sites that will be ending. And then a lot of our materials, we had digital resources and other program components like the Eat, Move, Save, and Rebecca had mentioned earlier, the Fine Food Illinois. All of those materials were supported by the SNAP Ed dollars. And so we will be looking at how we wind down those features. And then we'll also be looking at what comes next. Are there other partners as we go forward that would like to support some of these efforts? And as we had mentioned, it is a statewide program. And so what is that future of food access work and community nutrition education for our state?
How can you put a number on this? How much money are the taxpayers saving on these cuts?
So in Illinois, we received a little over $19 million to run the SNAP Ed program, and that reached over 1 million households. And so we equate an average household has 2.2 people is the estimate. So it is well over 2.5 million people who will no longer receive these services. And so, yes, the taxpayers across the country are saving that $19 million. But again, over 2 million Illinois residents are no longer having these services.
I'm trying to do some quick math. What is that, like $8, $9 a person, I guess? This is not the only change to SNAP, to food assistance, right? Eligibility is going to be changing. And even though some who supported this bill, some Republicans say, look, we're just making sure that it goes to people who deserve it. You definitely hear critics of this legislation saying you're adding a lot of bureaucratic red tape that's going to result in people not necessarily getting the benefits that they deserve or need, depending on how you want to think about that. So how are you thinking, Jennifer, about these changes, in terms of education, as we're also seeing eligibility change?
Yeah, one of the things I like to talk about is families or individuals who use these services are falling on hard times. So there's usually a lot of stress in their lives. So they may be newly diagnosed with a medical illness that required them to not be able to work anymore. And so now they need benefits to help them while they're trying to get back on their feet. Or maybe it's a young mother who came into a domestic situation where they're trying to get out of that. So a lot of times people that are using these benefits are going through stressful times in their lives. And so when the rules and the situations change it, where it actually makes it harder to get these services, people kind of give up or throw their hands up, or it's just more difficult for them to navigate it. And so, as you can imagine, people that are stressed, maybe needing food, maybe dealing with other circumstances in their life, just additional rules on top of that just adds and compounds to the stress that they have.
Caitlin Kownacki, also with U of I Extension, which administers SNAP Ed here. Most people are just living their lives. They're trying to make ends meet, trying to get the meal on the table, make sure their kids are doing their homework, that kind of thing. How much do you think this is set in for people who aren't so steeped in this work, that there are some big changes coming?
I think a lot of people, while we might be really in tune and aware of what's going on, because it's an everyday part of our life with the work that we do and the partners we have, a lot of people are kind of just going about their lives and dealing with, the giant hill right in front of them and just trying to get through that day or get to the next day with the resources they have. And so I think that there will probably be a good number of people that will be taken a bit by surprise, or not really realize that, some of these changes apply to them and their situation. We'll have a day where it's, all of a sudden, oh, shoot, here's another hill in front of me. And who can I go to for help and support, or, you know, that can help me work through this. And so I think, you know, Jen talked about what does the future look like for us. That's something that, you know, we kind of keep in the back of our minds, that, you know, a shift is coming. And are there ways that we, you know, can help in that time? What does that look like? And, you know, who can we partner with to do that? So, yeah.
And Rebecca Crumrine, what about your perspective? I mean, you're pretty close to the ground. How are these conversations playing out in places like Peoria?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I help to lead a food pantry network here, where we just try to make sure we bring together our food pantries, right, and help support them best and align and provide those resources. But I remember, you know, just at our most recent meeting, we kind of had a conversation about everything that is going on. And I think that there's a lot of confusion because so much did come out of, you know, the recent bills, or even just are still happening. I feel like day to day we hear new things. So people are bombarded with information, and they don't always know what to believe and what not to believe and how it affects them versus others and et cetera. But I think, you know, from that meeting, I came away and I was heartbroken because, you know, I did share during that meeting, yes, you know, SNAP-Ed is going to be eliminated, and just the ways that my partners, and it's not just in that meeting, but with all my partners, just the ways that I've had to have these hard conversations and try to understand, you know, what does it look like moving forward without having answers, you know? So I think there's a lot of uncertainty, which just breeds that, you know, that fear that is happening. So I'm grateful that we live in, you know, Illinois, and that we're taking this great approach that Jennifer had shared about, you know, where we are considering what does it look like to try to continue some of this work. But it's been definitely a rough time.
Dr. Christensen, you know, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to sort of do the devil's advocate thing with you and say, you know, I can imagine somebody out there listening saying, you know, come on, it's not like we're a couple cooking classes away from solving America's food and health problems. You know, you have entire, as we've heard, we have entire towns and neighborhoods that have a lot easier access to Doritos than kale. And, you know, a lot of people just prefer chips to kale. What do you say to that?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up. You know, I would say this. I think that, yes, it is really easy to choose those chips over kale because, you know, they're very much designed to be pretty delicious. And there isn't a good or bad food out there. I just think that there's some that are everyday foods that nourish our body better. And it's really about that. It is, what are our everyday choices that we have access to? How do we know which ones are things that will nourish our body and help us with our own sort of preventing certain diseases or even treating certain diseases as you manage it with different kinds of foods? How do I do that when money is tight? All of those things are things that come up for all of our patients, and more so. We have these conversations every day. I would say that having to make those choices every day, and especially if you're adding the stress of when money is tight, or when you are having to deal with certain health conditions and all the burden that goes on to that, all of those things add up. And it's really exhausting to have to make those choices by yourself with very little support. And, you know, people don't always know if they're not exposed to different amounts of education about what might be the more nutritious choice in that moment. So it's going to be a big gap, I think. We do this in the clinic. It's one-on-one, but there's no substitute for having people on the ground in the community where people are, live, work, and play, to have that information available and to help guide people as they need.
Caitlin Kaunacki, I see you have your hand up. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, our team members across the state, like Becca, one of the things they do really well is in the work and the projects they're working on, they ask community members what they want. And that's a very deliberate and intentional piece of the work and the plans and all of that. And so across the state, they have, you know, the last couple of years been doing a lot of projects with food pantries and food banks and all these locations, asking community members, what are they really missing? What do they really like to see in those areas? And in every part of the state, the resounding answer is fresh produce, fresh foods. It's not the processed foods. It's not, you know, those sort of other things. And so I think that it's, you know, it's important for us to just to realize that, you know, maybe purchases in grocery stores or whatever say one thing, but it could be because that is the economical option for them. But maybe it's not actually what they would really prefer to have if they could. And so, yeah, that's just kind of come through loud and clear that families who are having hard times, they do want the fresh, healthy foods. And so that's been a really important part of our work.
What do you think is the return on investment for this work? That we're, I guess, we're going to be foregoing that return for the indefinite future.
Yeah. So we finished up a multi-year evaluation of our program recently, and the culminating part of that project was to do one of the nation's first return on investment study for a SNAP education program. And one of the things that we were looking at is when we carry out the work that we do through education and systems work and all of that, how does that impact individuals and what happens to them in their lives down the road? And so one of the things that we were able to identify is that when we do our programming and people make changes in their food selection and in their access to food, that leads for children, that leads to better educational outcomes, which down the line from there leads to better opportunities for employment and household income, which helps to, you know, people pull themselves up and out and to be more prosperous into the future. And so our study found that for every dollar invested in SNAP education, the program returns up to $9.54. And that is really modeling the outcomes of our program through those routes of healthcare dollar savings, educational attainment for youth, and then also employment, presenteeism and absenteeism for adults in their work.
Mm. Well, we are going to have to leave it there. I suspect this will not be our last conversation on these topics. Rebecca Crumrine is a SNAP educator in Peoria. Dr. Amy Christensen is at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Peoria. Jennifer McCaffrey is Assistant Dean of Family and Consumer Sciences at the U of I Extension, which facilitates SNAP Ed here. And Caitlin Kaunacki is Senior Program Lead of Evaluation in Family and Consumer Sciences, again, at U of I Extension. Rebecca, Jennifer, Caitlin, Dr. Christensen, thank you so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be turning to the arts, music in particular. Pygmalion Festival is marking its 21st year. We'll have an interview with one of the artists from right here in Central Illinois coming up on the 21st Show. Thank you.